Welcome to the Max Living Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Dr. Nick Wilson.
I'm Dr. Tracy Gross. On this podcast, we have conversations about health. We talk about what it is, where it comes from, and really how you can achieve it for yourself and your entire family.
Hey, I hope you really enjoy this episode on the Max Living Podcast. Well, welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Dr. Nick Wilson. I am flying solo today. We are talking about 7 tips to drive without destroying your spine. Very important topic, especially right now during this season. Here's the deal. During the holiday season, people are driving more. And during this time of year, I find, as an owner of a spinal corrective clinic, that people are coming and hurting a lot more often this time of year. They're driving more. They are in bad posture. They're sitting more. They're not moving as much. So their core is weakened. And they're eating things that are causing their discs to flare up. Sugar, as an example. Maybe it's they're also shoveling snow or they're raking leaves. They're doing yard work, yet they're less active in the sense of they're not working out as much. So how to drive without destroying your spine, and whether it's your daily commute or extended road trip, by the end of the average week, a lot of people, they've accumulated a lot of time behind the wheel. And a good ergonomic setup can be helpful. And we're going to talk about what a good ergonomic setup can be. And it can be helpful to, you know, both comfort and effectiveness of your driving and prevent accidents and things like that. Because there's a lot of research that shows your posture, your position has a direct impact on alertness. So we'll talk about that. But the bigger point and the bigger emphasis here is how to not kill yourself and kill your back when you're driving. And number one on this, we're going to talk about 7 tips to drive without destroying your spine. Number one is make sure your car seat is properly adjusted. You know, most people, they don't have their seat in a good position, in the proper position. And, you know, you're in the driver's seat. The most important thing, obviously, that you need to be paying attention to in the driver's seat is obviously being able to see out the window and being able to see your mirrors. I think that goes without said. But when people adjust their mirrors, they're doing it in a slouch position. So then what's happening is that in order to see out their, you know, their rear view mirror or to see at the side view mirror, they hunch forward. They put their neck out. They have bad posture. So when you adjust your mirrors, do it in the best possible position. So when you get into your car, do this next time you get into your car, readjust, reset. So that way, you know, if you have a car that when you put in the key, it goes to the, it's already preset, you know, based off of the key, or you have one of the buttons on the side, like number one or number two that you can press and it goes to that number one or number two if somebody else drives your car. Well, set yours to be in the proper position, the new proper position. That proper position is good ergonomic position. You can see out your mirrors. You can see out not only the rear view mirror, but the side view mirror in good position. Your shoulders are back. Your head is also back against the seat and your belly button. So picture your belly. You're drawing it in towards the lumbar support. So you can feel that lumbar support on your back more and more as you draw that in. So you're actually using your core muscles while you drive. That's a braced position. And that is a position that you want to set your mirrors in when you're in that position. Not one that you just casually get in. You're kind of hunched forward. You're on your phone and you're just getting ready to go. Stop, pay attention, set your mirrors in a good position. And then when you go to look at your mirrors, if you have to adjust your body at all in order to see out your mirrors, well, that is an indication that you are not driving in a good ergonomic position. So set your mirrors where it's a constant reminder to sit up tall, shoulders back, lumbar supported, your core is braced, and your head is back against the seat. It's going to be a constant reminder. Which brings me to number two is mind your posture. One of the most important ergonomic tips for driving is to always think about your position And again, it's easy to slouch over time, but if you have the mirrors set in a good position, it's going to constantly remind you that you're not in a good ergonomic position. So it goes back to number one of setting your mirrors. Number three is do not drive on your wallet. Dear God, please take your wallet out of your back pocket. Stop it. I see this with patients all the time where we'll take x-rays of their spine. They have back problems. They have hip problems. They have, let's say, arthritis or sciatica or something like that. We take x-rays and their spine is completely tilted. Their hips are rotated. Without even meeting with the patient, I can tell if they are sitting on their wallet. And sure enough, I see patients oftentimes laying face down on a table, and I can see in their blue jeans the outline of their wallet where they not only did it one time or two times or three times, clearly they've worn their wallet in that position enough to completely wear a new pattern into their blue jeans. And sure enough, their spine and x-rays match perfectly to the misalignment that would be caused by basically a wedge underneath their hips as they're sitting. So please, if you are one who carries a wallet in the back pocket and you're comfortable doing that, I'm not telling you to change your habits in that way. I'm telling you to take it out when you go to sit down. And if that's where we get, great. And you take it out when you go to sit down, that's fine, but make sure it's done every time, because your spine is remembering that position, your hips remember that position, and it does not take a long, it doesn't take a long time for you to retrain your body that is appropriate. And so those muscles, those ligaments, they all shorten on one side, and it's just going to pull, and it's going to be a constant problem. So don't sit on your wallet. Number four, adjust your steering wheel. A lot of times the ergonomics that are associated with driving have everything to do with your steering wheel. And again, the steering wheel isn't just, the position and to be far enough away where it's comfortable, but you want to be able to see, your dashboard, see over the steering wheel, but you want to position that steering wheel to where it's another reminder for yourself that you need to be in good position. So again, if you are setting your mirrors when you first get into the car and getting into your seat, also set your steering wheel to where your eyes are evenly looking out, to where your eyes can easily see the dashboard. But if you were to slouch into a bad position, that would be another cue or reminder to get back in a better ergonomic position. So the steering wheel can also be very helpful with that. Also, with the steering wheel, you don't want to set it where you're like rotated. And what I mean by that, a lot of times I see people, they'll have their left arm against the window and their right arm over the top of the wheel. And that's a twisting motion. That torquing motion of your spine is, you don't want to be in that position for long periods of time. That twisting motion is likely going to end up causing you to have disc problems down the road. That's not a good position to use your core in, and that twisting motion. You want to, again, get back to that normal position. So set your steering wheel to where that would be uncomfortable to get into a position that you're twisting and torquing constantly. Number five is take breaks. Take breaks. And so if you're taking a long drive, take a break at least every 2 hours. Stop the car, get out, walk, maybe use the bathroom. This is going to relax the muscles while driving, gets the blood circulating again. If you know you have spinal problems and you know you have either disc problems or you have pain or sciatica, not only should you walk, but you should also wobble during your breaks. And what I mean by wobble, there's a wobble cushion this is what I teach my patients, is you have this wobble cushion, you take it to work, you can take it on your long drives, you do it at home, but you go through a spinal wobbling exercise while you take this break in order to pump the fluid up and down the spine and spinal cord, get nice lubrication. It kind of hyperinflates the discs again, and it's kind of like a spinal reset. So wobble on your long drives, take those breaks, and make sure you do schedule that in. So set a timer every couple of hours take a break. You might need to do that a little bit more frequently. I would say not less frequently, but you might need to do that every hour or so. For some of you, you get on the road and you are on a long drive, and to stop every hour would absolutely kill you mentally. And I get it. I'm that way too. But it's not a long break, just a short rest stops. And take 5 to 10 minutes. It does not have to take very long to just get out, decompress, rest, and listen. An extra 5 to 10 minutes here and there is not going to derail your trip. I'm talking to myself right now because I do the same thing. Number six, also wobble when you're done. So wobble when you're done. So when you get to your destination, this is when you will take a long break and go through your full spinal wobble exercise routine. Take a few minutes before you just start unloading the luggage. Please do not get there, park, get out, and just start unloading heavy things. You're just asking for problems by doing that, and you might not feel it right away either. You might feel it down the road, but your spine is least stable after you've been sitting. So pause, wobble, then unload, and your spine is going to be in so much better position, and you're going to have nice blood flow and just going to be ready for that unloading. And lastly is, listen, how to not destroy your spine while you're driving is to make sure it's properly aligned to begin with. So this is the most important part, is it's not reactive. Don't be reactive, be proactive. So what does your spinal alignment look like to begin with? If you have problems while sitting, that's not normal. It's not normal to sit and have pain. If you have pain while sitting, that is an indication of an underlying problem. And so if you do have spinal pain and problems when you sit, that is an indication that your spine is either misaligned, there's pinching or pressure on those individual nerves. And a lot of people, they just live life like that as it continues to get worse and ultimately degenerates inside of there. That's how a lot of people deal with that. A lot of times they will also mask the symptoms by taking some over-the-counter medication. If that's, you know, the route that you want to take, that is certainly the route that most people take. What I find with patients is that many people, they go down that route and they start wanting to get out of that route because they want to know the cause of problems. More and more people want to know the cause of their problems. More people are waking up to the fact that masking symptoms is just really not the best approach long term. People find that out the hard way, unfortunately. The idea is to know the cause of your problem, correct the underlying cause or causes of the problem, and live your life and live it well. Pain-free, no problems, not on a bunch of medications covering up symptoms, but ultimately living your life to the fullest because you have your health. And I see this with patients all the time. I just recently had a patient, David, who comes in, he's in his mid-50s. I've got his x-rays up right in front of me, drives a truck for hours every single day. He's a guy who prides himself in never taking a day off. He's one of those guys. And one day he starts getting some lower back pain and he says it's out of nowhere. But then the lower back pain that comes out of nowhere starts aching down his leg. He doesn't think much of it. He takes some over-the-counter medications. He moves on. One day he's on the job site. He's loading something into his truck and then boom, that aching that was in his leg turns into stabbing, shooting pain. And after a few days of being off work, remember, this is a guy who prides himself in never taking a day off, is taking days off work. He goes to the doctor. They say he has a disc bulge in his lower back. So what do they do for that? You can only imagine. They gave him pain medications, anti-inflammatories. They gave him muscle relaxers. They sent him home. 4 weeks later, he's still feeling bad. And now the doctor, he goes to a surgeon, and the surgeon, well, what do you think he wants to do? If you go to someone who wants to cut, what do they want to do? They want to cut. And so they say you need a fusion surgery, is what they say to David. So now he's looking for new work because he's told by the surgeon that he can't continue to drive a truck. The surgeon says your truck driving caused this. The bouncing of the seat, they say it's typical and you can't go back to doing that. And you can't do anything physical after this particular surgery that he's going to have. So put yourself in his shoes for just a minute. Here he is thinking this is only just, you know, a minor ache at first. This is a minor problem. He's taking the medications. Then all of a sudden it turns into full-blown spinal fusion surgery, and he's basically losing his livelihood. He's got to think about other options. His livelihood depends on him being out there and working, and now he's going to have a life-altering surgery, and certainly not going to be able to do what he wants to be able to do for the next 6 months. And so he initially heard me on the radio, and that's how he got turned on to maybe a different way of thinking. And I was talking, I guess, he told me that I was talking about the spine and the nervous system. And he said, it felt like you were talking about me, is what he said. And he was one of the winners of our, a discounted examination. And so he called in, and he almost canceled the appointment because he said he didn't want to spend any more money. I guess he had spent money in the medical route. He had gone to physical therapy, had done different things. And he said, I just didn't want to waste any more money. And so I almost canceled the appointment. But there's something inside of him that said not to do that. So he decided to come in anyway. We do a very specific scan of the nervous system through the musculature to see, hey, are the muscles imbalanced? Is the nervous system firing on all cylinders? Is the nervous system hyperactive in certain areas, which would indicate that there is additional problems going on above or below his noted disc bulge? And then we take x-rays because the scans, you know, they lit up. And I knew that they were going to, because I knew that he had had a spine problem and that he had had a disc bulge. So I knew that the nerves were, you know, they were unhappy, if you will. We take x-rays. And before we take x-rays, he says, hey, I already know I have a disc bulge. I already know I have a spine problem. I don't think I need x-rays. I've had all the medical tests that you can think of at this point. I said, I'm not looking for, on the x-rays, I'm not looking for exactly where the bulge is. We already have that with the MRIs. What I'm looking for is underlying causes and what would limit this from being fully corrected or you to get back to normal. I want to find out the underlying cause of the problem, and not only where the nerves are being pinched that's causing your pain, but I want to know, hey, what other areas are problematic? What are the blind spots? And what is going to keep this thing from fully healing? We got to know that. And I think because I said blind spots as a driver, I think that was a, it triggered him. And so he's like, okay, let's do it. Take x-rays and boom. L3, L4, L5, all the way down to S1. He had a massive curve in his lower lumbar spine, right where the worst curve is. So picture this. Picture like a leaning tower, like a leaning building, or like if you're building Legos or you're building Jenga sets or something like that, and the whole thing is leaning. Well, there's certain weak spots, right? Engineers know this. There's certain weak spots that you could predict where it's going to buckle or break. Well, right at L4, the disc between L3 and L4, there was a wedge that had started there. And if you know anything about building like sandcastles or, again, Jenga pieces or Legos, or I'm just trying to relate this to something you might know, that weak area, you can tell that if that continues to go that direction, it's going to affect above and below, and eventually that's going to, call it, collapse, or it's eventually going to buckle under the weight of the body. And we're talking about that, and also those nerves, yes, go down to the leg, yes, are responsible for his problems, but those same nerves go into the colon. Those same nerves affect the areas of male function, and I think you understand what I mean by that. And when we talked about that, he said, how come no one's ever talked to me about that? Because I have had bowel problems since this back thing. I've also had difficulty in that area. And what he was meaning is erectile dysfunction. And he said, no one's talked to me about that one either. And he said, is this correlated? And, you know, how can I know that? Besides knowing where the nerves go, how can I possibly give a definitive answer on that? All I can tell is that's anatomically where the nerves go. And if you have damage there, how could it not ultimately affect that eventually? And so he said, and the main question is, can you help me? Can you help me? And you know what the honest answer to that is? I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to help him. I don't know if I'm going to be able to help you either. What I do know is that that's a problem. And what I do know is that if it's left there, that problem continues to get worse. And I know that the other option that is on the table, at least for him, is surgery. What I do believe is that a conservative treatment, non-drug, non-surgical approach should be attempted first before surgery. And what I also believe is that the body is self-healing and self-regulating, and it doesn't need any help. It just needs no interference. And when you're constantly interfering with the body's attempt to heal, that it ultimately is not going to heal at 100% at least. And so I was honest with him, and like I am with patients, is, listen, I can tell you, I'm going to tell you if I'm going to help you, if I can help you or not. If I can't, I'm going to be straightforward with you. If I can, well, I'll let you know that too. And I know that getting that pressure off of those nerves is going to be helpful for him. Is he going to get back to normal? I can't tell that. I don't know. I can only give my best judgment. And so we had that conversation. We talked through it. What we started was very specific adjustments, very specific rehabilitation, retraining the muscles and the ligaments to get that pressure off of those nerves. And so his body could hold it. It's very different from a traditional medical approach or even traditional chiropractic approach in that, yes, very specific adjustments that are based off of his x-rays. Very gentle with an instrument. It's not whack 'em and crack 'em as like the typical, maybe you've had your experience with chiropractic where it's a lot of popping and cracking and big movements. And it's not like that. It's very specific adjustments precisely based off of the x-rays. A lot of times we're using an instrument that will help to not only reposition the spine, but also to get the pressure off that area. But then retraining of the muscles and ligaments with specific, it's called neuromuscular rehabilitation, and it's retraining not only the muscles and the ligaments, but also the brain, because you want to also retrain posture and ergonomics into the new position. And so we use head weighting and body weighting, and what I mean by that is sometimes you're wearing a weight on your chest or around your hips. And for him, it was weights around his left hip because we had to retrain that left hip to not only strengthen, but it's a counterbalancing measure. And I'm not going to get too much into this, but the spine will react. And that's really what I'm looking for, is the reactive component of that. And so in the office, we do that on a vibration plate. It vibrates at a specific frequency to retrain those muscles and ligaments. And so we go through this, and it, you know, some people will ask, you know, how long does it take? Well, that's different for everyone, but I can tell you this, that it took a long time to get there, and it's going to take some time to correct. So I want to be clear that this is not give you a pill and you feel better immediately. And that's your solution. No, it takes time, to correct the spine and retrain the muscles and ligaments and all of that and work to establish a new position. It does. And the question that we really have to ask ourselves, all of us, is, can we be patient enough for the healing process to set in? And healing takes time, and patience is something that has to be trained. But I'll tell you this, on the back end, seeing him where he is now, he has no more pain. He has no achiness first thing in the morning. He is driving his truck again. He says he has energy for days, doesn't feel tightness in his lower back the way he used to when he used to drive. And he's back to work, and he's doing the things that he feels like he was called to do. And for me, the biggest thing is he's got hope. He's got hope that he can live his life pain-free, no problems, and live through the fullness of his life without actually having to worry and be limited by his limitations in his health. And so ultimately, listen, if you're struggling, if you know somebody who is, perhaps they don't have to struggle. You know, perhaps they don't have to live their life like that. You know, one of our mission statements is to relieve unnecessary pain and suffering. And so that's part of why I believe we exist. And we do that naturally, non-drug, non-surgical approach to health. And we have offices all over the country that ultimately specialize in what I'm talking about today. So if that's you, or you know somebody who needs help, send them this episode. This would be a great way to introduce them to Max Living. And send this episode to them. And if you or someone you know or love needs to find a doctor or wants to find a doctor, it's very simple. You just get on maxliving.com and find a clinic. And it's very simple to find a clinic near you.